We continue our learning of Lenishmas, Susan Maslea, Helen Maslea, David ben Menachem, Shem Yehav Yaakov, ben Benichos Aliyo, we're in Mav Metzia, Periches, Mishnah Gimel. Hashoel HaSapar, here we have a case where someone is borrowing a para, but the Mashiel, the one who's lending it out, sends the para, doesn't give it directly to the Shoel, but it's being sent through an agent. Vishilcha lo biyad beno. Oh, biyad avdo, or biyad shlucho. So here, the mashil, the one who's lending it, sends it through an agent, the son of, or the eved of, or the shaliach of the mashil. Oh, biyad bino, biyad avdo, biyad shlucho shel ha-shoel. Or, let's say the agent was an agent of the shoel. It's being sent to the shoel through the agency of the son of the shoel, not the son of the mashil, the eved of the shoel, not the eved of the mashil. Or any other shaliach that the shoel may appoint. And what happened? Vamesa. And the para died on its way. So it never really reached the hands of the shoel. So whose liability is this? Do we say, well, the shoel is chayiv in everything, including ones? So he should be chayiv here. And here the animal, although it's an ones, it just died on the way, a natural death, let's say. The shoel should have to pay. Says the Mishnah Pater. The shoel is Pater because he did not become a shomer yet. He only becomes a shomer when it reaches his reshus. Now, when the Mishnah here says that the shoel appointed a shaliach, so some claim that this is only where the shoel appointed a shaliach where there were no edim there. He just said, listen, I want you to, this guy's lending me something, and I want you to take it, do me a favor, bring it to me. But if he appointed a shaliach officially in front of two edim, so then when the mashil gives that para to that shaliach, since he's an official shaliach having been appointed in front of edim, then the shoel becomes chayiv in onsin at that moment, the moment it comes into his hands. That's what the Gemara, according to one opinion, above a comma, daf kuv dalet amud aleph, makes that point. Amar lo ha-shoel, shilcha li, biyad bini, biyad avdi, biyad shluchi. But here you have a case where this was part of the deal. It wasn't where a person is borrowing a para, and the mashil happens to send it through an agent. Here the shoel says from the very beginning, I want you to send me the para through the hands of my son, or my eved, biyad avdi, biyad shluchi, or the hands of my agent. Or let's say he said to him, Biyad bincha, Biyad avdecha, Biyad shluchacha. He said to the mashil, I want you to send it to me from the very beginning. You don't have to give it to me directly. I want it to be done through the agent, and through, let's say, through your son, and your eved, your shaliach. Osha amar lo hamashil. Let's say the mashil said to the shoel, the lender was the one who said it from the beginning. Hareini mishalcha lecha, Biyad bini, Biyad avdi, Biyad shluchi. Oh, or let's say he says to him, Biyad bincha, Biyad avdecha, Biyad shluchacha. And in all of these cases where this was decided on from the very beginning, that in fact it's going to be delivered through a shaliach. Not like the case in the Reisha, where he's borrowing something and they happen to send in the hands of shaliach. Here, this was part. This was stipulated from the very beginning. And the shoel said to the mashal, shalach, yes, indeed, send it. Send it in your son's hands, or my son's hands, or my eved, or your eved, whatever it is. He says, yes, indeed, I want you to send it to me that way. Then what happened? The shilcho meis, then he sent it to him, and then it died on the way. Then chayav, the shoel is chayav to pay, because here from the very beginning, when it reached the hands of the shaliach, so it's already in the reshus of the shoel, and therefore he becomes chayav in onsin. The Gemara says that in the case where the shoel says to the mashil, listen, I want you to send it in the hands of your eved, and he sent it and it died, we said the shoel is chayiv, that's only where the mashil sent it in the hands of an eved ivri. But had the mashil sent the para in the hands of his eved kanani, which is his property, so that even if the shoel said, I want you to send it in the hands of your eved kanani, the shoel does not become chayiv in onsin at the moment it comes into the hands of the Eved Kanani. Rather, only when it comes to the hands of the Shoel. Why? Because the Eved Kanani is the property of the owner. And we say, Eved Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo. Not true for an Eved Ivri, but an Eved Kanani, yes. And therefore, it's as if it hasn't left the Reshuf of the Mashiel. And therefore, although it came into the hands of the Eved Kanani, and the Shoel had said, I want you to send it in the hands of the Eved Kanani, nonetheless, if it hasn't reached the hands of the Shoel yet, it's still considered as if it's in the hands of the Mashiel. shul, even though it came to the hands of the Eved Kanani, and the shul would not be chayiv just yet. And then the Mishnah concludes, v'shein b'shah shemachzira. Same thing is true when the shul is returning the parah to the mashiel. Through one of these agents, it does not leave the reshus of the shoel until it comes to the hands of the mashiel. If he died along the way, he, the shoel, is chayav to pay, even though it's no longer physically in his reshus. But if, let's say, the mashiel from the very beginning said, I want you to send it through the hands of an agent, the shoel said to the mashiel, behold, I am sending it in the hands of an agent, and the mashiel says, yes, indeed you can do so, and it died on the way, then the shoel is potter once it leaves his hands. This is all true, the Gemara says, when the shoel is returning it during what we call the Yemei She'el Aso, during the days, so he borrowed something for 30 days. So within those 30 days, he returns it, so then these halachos would apply. But let's say he's returning it after that time. It's beyond the days of She'ela that he's returning it, so he becomes, now he shifts to become a shoel now, he's no longer a shoel, because he's not allowed to use it as a shoel. He's only considered a borrower for the 30 days that he said he was planning to borrow it. If it's still in his hands after those 30 days, he becomes a shomer sachar, and therefore he's not chayiv an onus, only in pshia and geneva v'aveda. Periches, Mishnah Dalet. Hamachlif para bachamor. You have a case where there's a case of barter. We've mentioned this in the past, where one person is transferring. We had this in the fourth parak. One person is transferring. Is giving his para to Reuven's, giving his para to Shimon. Shimon is giving his chamor to Reuven. So there's this case of barter. We know when it comes to Mashiach, where there's no money involved. So once one of the animals is taken hold of by the purchaser, by one of them, the other one is automatically in the ownership of the other person. So that's what we call chalipin. So but what happened in this case was, in the case of machlif para chamor, and the Baal HaPara now takes hold of the Chamor, and when he does that, as we know, the Para becomes the owner now of the Baal HaChamor, but through Chalipin, the Yolda. And the Para gave birth, and it's not clear whether the Para gave birth before the owner of before it was pulled, or afterward. Not the parah was pulled, rather when the chamor is pulled. The parah, obviously, if the parah is in front of us, you'll know whether it gave birth before or after. But here we have a case where the chamor, as we know, once the chamor is pulled by the one who's planning to purchase it, but from the Baal HaParah, so the parah automatically becomes under the ownership of the other person. So, but the parah, we don't know if it gave birth before or afterwards. The chamor has been taken, and we just don't know whether there, and at that moment that the chamor is pulled, the para automatically transfers ownership. But at that moment that the chamor is pulled and the para transferred ownership, we don't know whether the para had given birth before the chamor was pulled or after the chamor was pulled. Maybe the para is not in front of us. V'chein hamocher shifchaso. Same thing would be true if someone is selling a shifcha knanis and the money has been transferred, but the shifcha knanis, we don't know if the shifcha and she gave birth, whether she gave birth in the hands of the lokeach, of the buyer of the shifcha, and therefore the child belongs to, the offspring belongs to the buyer, or no, it gave birth before, and therefore the offspring belongs to the seller. And that was the case in the case of the par and the chamor as well. If it's true that the para gave birth before the chamor was pulled by the other person, so then the offspring of that para, although the para is going to be sold when the chamor is pulled, the offspring belongs to the owner of the para from the beginning. That doesn't transfer. But if the para only gave birth afterwards, so that means that the one who purchased the para, the one who's selling the chamor, so we assume that the para was bought when it was pregnant, and therefore the offspring belongs to the buyer of the para. So same thing when it comes to a shivcha, the yolda, and the shivcha gave birth, you know, it's clear whether it was given before the money was given and the vlad belongs to the original person, or it was after the money was given and it belongs to the buyer. Ze Omer, so the one who sold makes the following claim. Atchelo bacharti. He obviously makes the claim. Obviously, if everyone's being honest, so then we're fine. But here, there's a dispute here. They come to court. The one who sells says, no, before I sold you the para, before I pulled the chamor, it gave birth. So I pulled the chamor, I own the chamor. But the para, although that belongs to you, the offspring of the para gave birth before I pulled the chamor. So that belongs to me, the child. And the same thing when it comes to the shifcha. the Shivcha gave birth before I gave you the money. And therefore, the offspring of this, although the Shivcha is yours, I sold you the Shivcha, but the child is mine. Vizeomer, the buyer, says, no, Mishael HaKachi, you know, he gave birth after I bought it. I bought a pregnant Shivcha. I bought a pregnant cow. Says the Mishnah Yachloku. They should split. So whatever the value of the offspring is, they split that in half. The Gemara says that's only Sumchus's opinion, who, as we mentioned in the past, he holds Mamon Hamutol B'Safik Cholkim. When you have a question, you have a doubt as to a financial matter, so you split the money. But we don't follow him. We follow the Chachamim, where we employ the principle Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. So here, what are we going to say? We assume that the lokeach, the buyer, is the one who wants to exact the money, the value of the offspring from the seller. But we have to, unless he can prove other, and they can prove that in fact the offspring belongs to him and the animal was pregnant, we assume that the animal gave birth before. We assume that that Vlad offspring belongs to the seller, the one who was the owner of the para or the shivcha to begin with. Some explain that even Sumchus would agree that in our particular case, why? Meaning, although Sumchus generally says, Maman Hamutu B'Safik Cholkim, that we split money in half and we're not sure who's the owner of the money, and we don't say Hamutu Mechavar L'Varaya, that's not true in all cases. Take our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Yachlok, we split it. So what the Gemara points out, according to one opinion, is that Sumchus would, the reason Sumchus says Yachloku here is not because he generally says Yachloku, Maman Hamutu B'Safik Cholkim. It's because the case of our Mishnah is where the parah is not here. The para is in the agam, is in the swamp. The para is not around. The shivcha is in an alleyway, so, you know, on the side of Rosh Hasharabim, so that where they typically sell avadim. And therefore, no one is a muchzuk. No one we can say, we can't say the owner is the muchzuk on that animal. He was the original owner. He's the muchzuk. He's not a muchzuk. The para is not here. The shivcha is not in your ownership, in your jurisdiction right now. It's in a public area. So because of that, so then we understand why. Yachlokri, we should split it. But if, in fact, the paro, the shivka, were still in the rishus of the mocher, then this would not be a mamon hamulta b'safek. Sumchus would agree in such a case. There are the cases where Sumchus does say we split the money. There are cases you have that several places in Shas. But in this mission, according to some Rishonim, the reason he says yachlokri is not because of his general rule of yachlokri, but rather because here it makes sense to split it, because you can't say that the mocher has the ownership of this animal at this point. If the animal, if the par and the shivcha were in the rishus of the mocher, Sumchus would agree that lokeach would have to bring a raya. We would say hamotzi mechavero olav araya. But according to the chachamim, even if the para is in the agam, the shivcha is in the simta, it's not under the jurisdiction of the mocher, nonetheless, they still have the status of cheskas mocher. That he was the cheskas marakama. He was the original owner, and therefore it still would be upon the lokeach to bring a raya. Even in a case where the para is not in front of us, we would not say split according to the chacham. Then the Mishnah says, "Hayu lo shnei avadim, echad gadol ve'echad katan." Person has two avadim; one is larger or older, one is younger, and he sold one of them. He has two fields, achas gadol, achas katan. One's large, one's smaller. Halokeach omer, so there's a dispute as to which one of the fields, which one of the avadim was sold. Halokeach omer, of course, the buyer says, "Gadol lakachti, I bought the larger avad. I bought the larger field." The halomer, the seller claims, no, not necessarily any odeya. I'm not sure which one I sold to you, the bigger, larger, but it's possible that I sold you the smaller one. Says the Mishnah, Zocha Begadol. Why is the buyer Zocha in the large one? Because Bari Yashem Bari Adif. He's Bari. The buyer is certain that he bought the smaller one, or the larger one, and the seller says, I'm not sure, and therefore we follow the one who's certain. However, we already mentioned in Mishnah Beis, we don't follow that halacha. We said that this, even Bari Yashem Bari Adif, even though that we have such a principle, that would not be true in this case. In the case of, even though he says, the seller says, Ain't Odea, nonetheless, we don't necessarily give the larger one to the buyer. So how do we explain this Mishnah? So it must be that the lokeach, the buyer, is claiming from the mocher the value of the eved gadol, or the value of the sadeh gadola. And what is the, not the eved itself, not the sadeh itself, but its value, the payment of it, the money. So the mocher says, I don't remember, well, I'm chayv to give you the value of a smaller eved, a younger eved, or an older eved. So what is that, what does he mean by saying that? Well, I'm not really sure whether it's the large or the small eved. Well, if you're admitting it's at least the value of the smaller eved, then that would be a case of modim mitzvah. So you do admit, you still, that you definitely sold him at least the value of a smaller eved. So if that's the case, you would be chayv shvua, but because of hadam mitzvah. But he can't swear because he says, any yodeh, I don't know. Therefore, he's going to pay the lokeach based on the claim of the lokeach. Then the Mishnah says, hamocher omir katan macharti, the seller says, I sold you the smaller eved. Vahala, and the buyer says, omir, any yodeh, I'm not sure. So now he's the any yodeh. Eino elokata. He is the shema. He's the uncertain, the claim of uncertainty. So therefore, he only gets the smaller eved. Ze omer gadol vze omer katan. Let's say the lokeach, the buyer says the large one, and now the mocher here doesn't say any yodea. The mocher says, no, it was the katan. I sold you the smaller one. Yishavah mocher shakatan machar. The seller will swear that indeed he sold the smaller one. And then only has to give him the smaller one. The Gemara asks, why should he swear? The Gemara has this language, Masha ta'ano lo hodalo, Masha hodalo lo ta'ano, which means it's apples and oranges. What he's claiming, this guy wasn't mode to. What he's admitting, he wasn't claiming, which means these are two different people, two different fields, whatever it is. So why, one's claiming, what happens? Oh, you sold me the larger eved. Oh, I sold you the smaller eved. So what are you going to tell me? That the mocher swears that he sold him the smaller one, and therefore he's going to pay him that? Well, that's modem nixas. It's not a taina on the same thing. It's not, if talking about money, it's one thing. But they're claiming these two. When it comes to modem nixas, it has to be where this person is claiming something, and he admits to part of that claim. But these are two different people, two different avadim, two different fields. Not only that, we don't take a shvuos on avadim and karkos, on evit kanani and karka. Evit kanani is compared to karka. Karka, we don't take a shvua on that as well. So how do we understand why the mocha is swearing? So the Gemara says, once again, we're talking about a case where the lokeach is claiming the value of a larger evit, or the value of a larger field. So now, let's say he gave him money and they made a tanai that they'll be able to retract up until the point of the giving of the shtar, and the mocher says, I only received from you, you bought only from me, you only gave me the value of an eved katan, or the value of a sadeh, unique can be the value, the full value, and the lokeach claims back. So here the lokeach responds to the mocher that I gave you the full amount. So here, if the mocha is being modem mixas, once you turn it into not two fields, larger, small field, larger eved, smaller eved, but rather you turn it into money, so then we can create a case of modem mixas. Therefore, the mocha is chayv a shvua that he doesn't indeed owe the other half. And once he takes that shvua, he only has to pay, he only has to give him the value of a smaller eved. Is there omer any yodeh, is omer any yodeh? Both say any yodeh. Neither one remembers whether it was a law he paid for the larger eved, value of a larger eved, or a larger field, or a smaller eved, smaller field. Yachloku. Then you split it according to Sumchus, who says, Mama namata basava cholkim, but where do we say we don't follow Sumchus? And we say, rather, the chachamim hamotzi mechaber levaraya. And therefore, the mocher does not have to do lokeach, the larger the value, the larger field, the larger eved, because Hamotzi mechaber levaraya, it's the lokeach, the buyer, who has to bring proof. The burden of proof is upon him.